The church in these last few weeks in ordinary time always asks us to reflect on what we prepare for in the Advent season. Are you ready for Jesus? We heard in our first letter, in the first letter of the New Testament today, Paul's letter to Thessalonians, both 1 and 2 are the first New Testament scripture we have. 20 years before the Gospels came out, Paul is expecting Jesus to return at any time. He has that expectation. But Paul's later letters, they kind of tamp down that expectation. Paul is today is ecstatic as he reflects on his knowledge, this newfound knowledge of seeing the risen Christ. And Paul shares a view of meeting Christ in the air. Shouldn't really be taken literally, but it's an expectation of the resurrection. The later letters of Paul begin to focus on Jesus being delayed, much of which our gospel is talking about today. And every year we celebrate Advent as one more year Jesus is delayed. Our gospel today, though, is talking about 10 bridesmaids, 5 of which are wise and 5 are portrayed as foolish. The wedding imagery aside, I want to focus on what makes the wise the wise and what makes the foolish the foolish. Simply put, it's the oil they were talking about in their lamps, to light their journey. So what is the oil in the gospel? It can only be one thing, preparedness. It's how have you prepared and made use of the divine life that we're given. I believe it starts in baptism, of course, for the believer. How have you prepared yourself to meet Christ? We have the sacraments, of course. Have you washed yourself clean in reconciliation? How about the Eucharist? Do you make good use of the Eucharist, the Mass? See, the Eucharist washes away a multitude of sins. The Gospels, all week, have focused on God first. Then, if we have God first, all other things will fall into place in our lives. How do we make God number one? Of course, the sacraments. How about prayer, then? The Apostle Paul tells us to pray always and everywhere. Now, the Apostle Paul had a full-time job. He was a tent maker, and then he was an evangelist. How did he find time to pray always and everywhere? Well, Paul had this keen awareness Christ was with him every second of the day. And that's prayer itself, when you know that, when you're consciously aware of that. The Apostle Paul said, pray. What did he say? With praise and thanksgiving, make your petition known to God. I can do that in 5 seconds. It's a golden prayer. We don't have to lock ourselves in a room 24 hours a day. Almighty God, that's praise. Thank you for what a beautiful day. That's thanks. Now help John with his illness. You can do that in less than 5 seconds. Golden prayer. If you do that all during the day, that's praying all day. You see someone walking down the street, say a little prayer for them, that you know them. But praise and thanksgiving. Like I said, Almighty God, we should always have 50 things we can, more than that, that we can thank God for. That's praise, thanksgiving, petition. How about studying? Have you ever read the catechism? Do you own a catechism? Have you taken time to read about any of the saints, the multitude of saints, instead of maybe the 50 Shades of Grey or some fictional tale? There's room for both in life. Picking up a spiritual book by Scott Hahn or Matthew Kelly. Any studying is like buying the oil we need for our personal lamps. It's called preparation. Prayer is the oil for the lamp. Study is the oil for the lamp. The rosary is oil for the lamp. I have many prayers I say throughout the day. Prayer of St. Michael the Archangel, Psalm 51, the Angelus, the Divine Praises, the Te Deum. Go to Catholic Prayers Online. That's the name of the website, Catholic Prayers Online. You find so much. There are literally 3,000 prayers on that website. The Catholic experience is so vast. I just found a new one this week and during All Souls Week, really. Prayer of St. Gertrude for the souls in purgatory. What a great thing. I didn't know about that. Like I said, the experience is so vast for the Catholic. It's overwhelming for us. Something I talked about in Bible study this week, men's Bible study. I shared this image of God because works of the Lord, our prayer for the lamp. I remember seeing this picture of Mother Teresa once. Probably a disgusting picture. She was kneeling down before a toilet, overrun with sewage, and her arm was all the way up it, trying to unclog it. That is doing God's work. And I know I don't have that kind of thing on my resume. Some people do. How about nurses, CNAs, helping people toilet themselves? That is God's work. All these things are filling up, like filling up at the gas station, our oil. Good works are filling the oil lamp. We don't need them for salvation, but what do good works do? They say, I belong to God. We do them because we say, I belong to God. And then the most important thing, love others. Love others as yourself. The foolish virgins, they asked the ones who were prepared, give us some of your oil. Well, you would if you could, in the mercy of our God. But how do you give away your good works? How do you give away the studying you've done? The prayer you've done? You can't give that away. There's an urgency that Jesus calls us to. We write our resume for God in this life. We help the foolish virgins now by telling them to prepare. See, now is the time to share the oil with them. Not when Christ returns or not when God has called us home. When the bridegroom comes, will we be ready? The time for preparedness when Jesus returns or has called us home has come and gone. The church asks us to reflect on that, show some urgency in life. We will be hearing the message of Advent approaching again. Stay awake, be ready. We do not know the hour when the Lord returns. If you are ready and you have oil in your lamp, your preparedness, it won't matter when Jesus comes. It won't matter when he calls you home because you are ready and you are safe in that time, in that preparedness. We share our faith now and share our oil now, but at the end, it's too late. Now, on this Veterans Day weekend, we'd like to, all those who served in the armed forces at any time in their lives, we ask you to stand. I'll call out the branches one by one. Active or reserve, please stand when I call you. Army, is the Army here? Good. The Army is here, good. Navy, are you here? Very good. How about the Air Force? Wonderful. Are the Marines here? Every branch so far, wonderful. Anyone who served the National Guard? The Coast Guard, awesome. We thank you for your service to our country today. And we now have a special blessing for all those veterans and their families. So now, let us all extend our right-handed blessing for them. Lord God, Almighty Father, Creator of humankind and Author of peace, as we are ever mindful of the cost paid for by the liberty we possess, we ask you to bless these veterans and all the members of our armed forces around the world right now, here and in foreign lands. May we be grateful and inspired by the sacrifices these veterans have made in their lifetimes, and may they bravely face the challenges ahead. Bless two of their loved ones waiting at home. Give them strength in time of concern and anxiety. Help them cope with the daily challenges in the absence of their loved ones. And eternal God, hurry the day when all people shall live together in your love. We ask this through Christ our Lord. And may the Lord bless us all, protect us from harm, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your service, and God bless you. Now let us stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, Father the Almighty.